Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And as you've been hearing in the news, no doubt, the U.S. Virgin Islands, among other places in the Caribbean hard hit by Irma, are bracing once again as Hurricane Maria is now heading their way. Governor Cuomo is just back from visiting the Virgin Islands and offering New York National Guard members and more to help them recover. And who knew the governor of the U.S. Virgin Islands is a former NYPD cop from Brooklyn, who I'm told asked the governor to get involved. With me now on that and a few other things is the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo. Governor, thanks for giving us some time this morning. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Good to be back. Thank you for having me, Brian.
Is that true about the governor of the Virgin Islands?
Do you believe it? It's amazing how many connections we have with the U.S. Virgin Islands in this state. I can't tell you how many people on the street just came up and who lived in New York, who was back and forth, who has family. So the connection is very, very close. The governor, Governor Mapp, former NYPD from Brooklyn. So it was on that level. It was surprising to me. The other surprising thing, and the point that I want to communicate, Brian, is the devastation is unbelievable. And you know, we had Florida going on and Texas going on, and the media covered that extensively for obvious reasons, but the Virgin Islands did not get the kind of coverage the other places did, and it is devastated. When I tell you the entire power system down, every cable, every pole snapped like twigs, homes where rooftops gone, buildings where two of the four walls are gone, and people are still living in those buildings because they have no place to go. They have a tremendous need, and we really are going to have to help to respond. They don't have the government resources that we do. They have a tourism economy. I don't believe they'll be back for the next tourist season. So it's really a place that needs help and that we can and should help.
And so what specific aid is the state of New York providing and at what cost?
Well, we're providing a National Guard and state police in addition. State police, because with power gone, they're afraid there may be looting, there may be security issues. So we're sending down state police and National Guard. The way it works in a disaster situation like this is we get reimbursed for the aid that we send. The disaster emergency situations are basically a mutual aid benefit where other states, they've done it for us when we had need, Hurricane Sandy, et cetera. Other states will send in resources, and they then get reimbursed. I have worked very hard to make sure that when anyone needs help, New York responds. It's our way. It's our legacy. Financially, we get reimbursed, but it's the willingness of people to go.
Is it reimbursed by the federal government? Because I was going to ask you that if we're doing this as a state, does it represent a failure of enough aid coming from Washington?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You know, I was on the federal side, Brian. I was HUD secretary, and HUD was intimately involved in all the federal emergency actions. So I went around the country, or went around the world, bringing federal aid. FEMA and the feds are basically do two things. They show up quickly with emergency aid. Water, food, shelter setups, and then they provide financial reimbursement. Now, in fairness to FEMA, they're spread thin with everything we have going on. Florida and Texas were major situations. So they need a backup to begin with. But we can also do things that FEMA doesn't do short term. But financially, we get reimbursed. The discretion is we have to go first and say we're willing to send aid. And the Virgin Islands, Brian, people forget, they are Americans, right? It's a territory of this country. So we have to remember that. And I believe in the overall karma theory of life. When people need help, we're there. And, so, and by the way, when we need help, they've been there for us.
Just to close the loop on the reimbursement, it comes from the federal government budget?
Yes.
And there is a political component that people keep mentioning when it comes up that you went down there. I happened to mention the fact that you were coming on the show today to a congressional reporter last hour in the context of DACA, and he said, oh, and Andrew Cuomo just went to the Virgin Islands. What does that say about his future for 2020? How would you answer that question?
Look, once you start with this presidential question, whatever you do, you can interpret as he's doing that because he wants to run for president, right? Whatever I do, they could say that. That congressional representative, though, should do a little homework because the Virgin Islands, I don't even believe they vote for president. So if you're running for president, there are a lot of other places to go besides the Virgin Islands.
Right. More just general like, image making.
Yeah, like Florida would probably be where you would have gone.
Do you know anything about how big a threat Maria is or how they're bracing for that one now in the U.S. Virgin Islands?
Talk about compounding problems. They are Maria. They're currently right in the path of Maria. I don't think they think it's going to be as severe, but it will just compound the situation they have, which is already intolerable.
Governor Andrew Cuomo, my guest on WNYC. And while you're here, let me touch base with you on a few other things. I see you're warning Democrats in Congress about the outlines of the possible DACA deal with President Trump that Senator Schumer is touting. What's your position?
I think we have to be very careful here, Brian. I understand the governmental process. I understand compromise. I have a Republican Senate that I deal with in Albany. And I understand unless you compromise, you get nothing done. And if you get nothing done, everyone loses. So I don't take the position of a purist ideologue. Either it's all our way or nothing, because then it winds up being nothing. And that's why this country is in the shape it's in. But DACA and the quote-unquote wall, in some ways, I feel like we're negotiating against ourselves. We now have DACA, right? It was done by an executive order by President Obama. But DACA is in place for the promise of, well, Congress will now confirm DACA. That just puts us where we are. And in exchange, more money for border protection, quote-unquote, the wall. But not a wall, just more money for border protection. We already spent $4 billion on border protection on the southern border. How much more money than the $4 billion? And where are we going to get it from? They're cutting health care. They're decimating many programs for the poor. I would be very reluctant to give them any more money for border patrols. And I believe politically what they're going to say is, well, this is in essence the wall. It's not a fence. It's an electronic grid. It's cameras. It's sensors. It's a cyber wall. And let's remember where we are. DACA, the way President Obama did it, because it was an executive order, he didn't have legislation, is very limited. There's no path to citizenship in DACA. Every 2 years, you have to be recertified. So you have young people who've never even been to their quote-unquote homeland, who every 2 years have to now go through this recertification process.
Now, supporters of a deal would say the Democrats really don't have DACA in hand. The Obama program for their parents was already struck down in court, and conservative state attorneys general, as you know, are going to take DACA to court too and could very possibly win. So a Trump deal with Congress makes it the law of the land to at least protect their right to stay here and their right to work, yes, every 2 years for renewal. And that's what's really needed, is to at least get this protected from the courts by getting it enacted in Congress, and some kind of additional border security. Well, that was the bipartisan Gang of Eight deal in the Senate that they couldn't get through the more conservative House, and you got to give them something meaningful. And the premise of letting people who are here stay, but trying to prevent with further measures, further influxes of people illegally, that is the basic outline of any comprehensive immigration reform. Why not?
Well, because it's not, Brian. It is the status quo for more money to build a de facto wall. And remember what this is really about, okay? This is not the another exercise in cutting up a piece of pork in Washington. This means something. The wall was just a symbol for anti-immigration policies. DACA is a symbol for we believe in immigration, and we think it's a good thing. To give them a victory on more border protection at a cost, again, we now spend $4 billion. Where that money's going to come from, I have no idea. But for them to get more border protection, they'll be able to claim that this was in essence what they meant with the wall. You know, the president is a very good salesman, and this can be morphed into a cyber wall. And we get the status quo on DACA. You know, they said when it went to the Congress that there was an openness to pass it. Frankly, if they did not renew DACA, it would be mayhem. Are you really going to deport 800,000 Americans? How many lawsuits, how many years of litigation, Brian, before that would happen? How many states would defy the federal government if they came in and tried to deport people? I have 50,000 people under DACA in my state. I would move heaven and earth before I allowed anyone to be deported. Okay. And in the meantime, more money to keep immigrants out. No, we believe in immigration.
Let's see what Senator Schumer has to say about this when he hears the word on what you're saying. How about the other big congressional story of the last week, Medicare for All, with Senator Gillibrand among those signing on? Are you for that at the federal level?
I think that would be a good idea. I'm afraid they come back with health care reform. You know, I think we're in the eye of the storm where it's apparently quiet right now on health care. I think the back half of the storm is going to come around. I think they're going to move on health care reform again and the repeal of Obamacare, because that's essential to the extreme conservatives. They're already cutting health care funding. We're putting the numbers together now, but they have a proposed cut to Medicaid that will decimate our health care system. So I think we are far from over that battle, you know. And they have picked out several extreme conservative positions that they want to vindicate. Anti-immigration, cutting health care to the poor, cutting back on funding to a lot of urban problems. I think they are still full force ahead.
So if they can't fix our health care system in Washington and the conservatives prevail to the extent that you fear, you know that the New York State Legislature is very close to being able to pass a state single-payer system bill. If they were to pass it, would you sign it?
If they were to pass it and it was not incongruous with what the federal government would do to us, I think it's a very exciting possibility. But I think it's going to be a federal play. And our funding system basically relies on Medicaid from the feds. And if they turn off that valve or slow that valve, there is no way we're going to be able to make that up in this state, no matter what. And on DACA, I think there is a possible transaction here, Brian. You know, just remember, every time there's a transaction, there are winners and losers. If there's DACA, but there's a real path to citizenship, and there's progress on that, and that affirms our position of pro-immigration, and then there was money for border protection, but not where they could claim a wall, I think that would be an intelligent solution to move forward.
That's a deal you could endorse. We have just a few minutes left, and I want to get to your new proposals to deal with the Equifax hack. But let me ask you one political question first. Now that the Democratic primary for mayor is over in the city, will you endorse Bill de Blasio for mayor in the general?
The mayor won the Democratic primary. I am a Democrat. I support Democrats, and I'll support Mayor de Blasio in the general.
Only because he's a Democrat in that general kind of way? Nothing more enthusiastic than that?
No, I think in this contest, you know, life is options, they say, right? I think in this contest, he is the better person to serve the city of New York as mayor, period.
And tell us about your Equifax protection bill.
Equifax, there was a breach of the security system of Equifax. Equifax is a credit reporting company. There is currently a loophole in the law where banks are regulated, insurance companies are regulated. They have to have certain protections in place, certain cyber protections in place, so it can't be hacked. Credit reporting agencies are nowhere. They just have no regulation, and they really fell in this loophole. And they have very sensitive information. You push it a little further, and it's identity theft, right? So what we're saying is credit reporting agencies should be regulated the same way we regulate banks and credit institutions. They have to have protections in place. They have to have cyber protections in place. And we're going to mandate that by regulation in New York, because with more and more cyber threats, those credit reporting agencies have a lot of information, Brian, a lot of personal information.
How'd they get away with this little regulation until now?
Well, you know, they sort of developed over the years. Nobody was really paying attention to them. They were basically agencies that banks relied on, and banks were heavily regulated. But what this incident now says is the bank regulations don't protect you from the credit reporting agencies. The credit reporting agencies themselves should also be under those regulations.
Governor Andrew Cuomo, thank you so much. We always appreciate your time.
Thanks, Brian.